Hello, Yelp Tampa Bay listeners and beyond. My name is Christina Golden, and I am the Yelp Tampa Bay Community Manager. You no longer have to go to Nashville to get Nashville hot chicken. Since April, King of the Coop has been going through 1,500 pounds of chicken a week and is already expanding to meet this demand. I had the pleasure of sitting down with King of the Coop owner, Joe Dodd, to talk about subjects ranging from what makes Nashville hot chicken so unique to how he became one of the rotating vendors at Armature Works. Be warned that this episode contains some adult language. Kick back and grab some milk because this podcast is going to be hot. I'm sitting today with Joe Dodd, who is the owner of King of the Coop, and we are in his restaurant. It's closed right now, so hopefully we won't have a line of people coming in to try to get chicken to interrupt this interview. But I did want to just start out with the fact that personally, and I know, shame on me, I had never come to King of the Coop before this interview. So I did what I always do, and I looked up Yelp reviews to see what people thought of the place. And so I just want to read a couple because I found some of them pretty entertaining. And
also, there's some good ones out there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, also, the fact that you guys have over 4.5 stars with 212 reviews, and you said you just opened in April. That's insane. But just to set the scene for anybody else who has not been to King of the Coop, so one of the elite Yelpers, Wendy C., said, so this is basically to set the scene. She went to King of the Coop, found out that she actually couldn't handle the spice level she thought she could, so she decided to take the rest home with her so she could eat it in like the comfort of her own home. And so she said, so this is when she got back home. So I took my pants off, grabbed a near empty carton of organic milk, and here I am in my bed drinking out of the carton, eating arguably the most tasty fried chicken I have ever had in my 37 years of life, and composing run-on sentences on Yelp about this local treasure. Also from Danielle M., she says, the best Nashville chicken in all of Tampa. Joe and his team truly know what they're doing, both in the kitchen and in all that they do. I mean it. And then Anastasia A. says, I finally made it over to King of the Coop. I was so happy to say the hype is real. I was very happy to see that there was more than just Nashville hot sauce to choose from. So if you're thinking this was all about heat and you weren't going to try it, I'm here to tell you that they are so much more. So, Joe, that should make you feel pretty good that it seems like Tampa Bay has really embraced your chicken.
Yes, it is awesome. We're very lucky to only have been open since April and the community get behind it like this. This is amazing.
Yeah, no, it's really impressive. So if we can just start off with, can you tell us a bit about your background and how King of the Coop came to be?
My background, I was born and raised in the military. So I lived all over. Skip ahead a little bit. High school is where I started to cook and found my love for cooking. And I knew back in high school that I wanted to own my own restaurant someday. I just didn't know what. Okay. And throughout the years, I became more and more, I became more obsessed, I guess, with learning how to fry chicken. I don't know why. I love it, you know. It's been, fried chicken is like a family thing to me. My grandfather said since 1964, every Christmas Eve, my family has eaten fried chicken. Wow. Now, I wasn't born in 1964, but ever since then, every Christmas Eve. So it's always been a part of me, I guess. I did a little bit of time in the military, got out, went to culinary school, got out of that, worked for some really great people. My wife's job moved here to Tampa from the Fort Myers, Naples area, mm-hmm. and had an opportunity to start a food truck. Mm-hmm. Started a food truck. Within a year, we rebranded as a different concept. Soul Food Street Kitchen, it was called. That concept got us into Armature Works for their 4-month rotating spot, and then that led me to this place. I knew the people that had this spot before, and knew what was going on with them, so I signed a lease.
Wow. So this is your very first restaurant then, like brick and mortar restaurant. Yeah.
100%, yeah.
So, I mean, that's an incredible in terms of how big you guys have blown up. I know we were just talking that you guys are expanding into the space that was, I mean, attached to your same space, but
right.
but to get even bigger. And I think it's because you guys have seen such a response. I know in the early days that I was reading that you guys were selling out of chicken. There was such a huge demand.
It still happens.
Oh, you guys still sell.
It still happens. With the space that we have right now, we don't have a lot of space to hold a lot of product.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a big walk-in cooler. But we're going for, we have, what, 12 seats in here, 16 seats in here right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going through 1,500 pounds of chicken a week.
Oh, my gosh.
Every week, 1,500 pounds. And that's not even with the expansion. So I don't even know how it's going. It's going to just be crazy.
Yeah, so you guys, that's a lot of chicken.
Yes.
So let's back up a bit and say and find out. So why Nashville hot chicken? And also, how does that differ from regular fried chicken?
Why Nashville hot chicken? So 2017, my wife and I went to Raleigh, North Carolina, believe it or not. And there's this place that I go to every time I go to Raleigh called Beasley's Chicken and Honey. They have amazing fried chicken. And they're known for their chicken and waffles.
Mm.
Well, this time they had a Nashville hot chicken on special sandwich. And I didn't want my first time eating Nashville hot chicken to be at KFC. So I said, to hell with it, I'll get it. I got it. The waitress said, do you like spicy? I said, yeah, I do. She said, okay, because it's hot. I said, no worries. I took one bite. It blew my face off. It was so hot. She comes over and she says, is everything okay? I was like, it's actually really good. I said, but what is the heat? Mm-hmm. And she said, we use Carolina Reaper oil. And I said, you might want to tell people that because this is wild. And that's what really sparked it. I told my wife, I said, when we get back home, I'm going to figure this out. And it took a solid year to get the whole process down. Now, what differs Nashville chicken from regular fried chicken? It's really the oil dip after it's fried and the seasoning that's put on it. All Nashville chicken spots are different. And that's one thing I kind of wanted to touch on. Because people like to compare us to other spots. But back in July, I took my management staff to Nashville
Wow.
for a couple days. And we ate at different Nashville chicken spots. And the biggest thing that I learned, being my first time in Nashville, is that no Nashville hot chicken spot is the same. They're all different.
Hmm.
Most of them use the same spices for their blends,
mm-hmm.
Which is no secret. Anybody can look it up online. It's cayenne pepper is going to be the hot part until you get into the hotter ones. Then you got habanero pepper and Carolina Reaper pepper. There's brown sugar, salt, black pepper, and garlic powder and paprika. And it's just how you blend those spices to get your flavor profile. But yeah, I just fell in love with it. And I realized in Armature Works that we were selling a lot of our Nashville hot chicken as well as Nashville hot catfish. And I knew that there was no spot here in Tampa or St. Pete or anywhere around us that solely did Nashville hot chicken. And I just took the opportunity to do it. And here we are.
Well, it is true that you really do have, like you've capitalized on this Nashville hot chicken. I have to say, I was at dinner with friends the other night and we were at a place and that was known for having a good chicken appetizer. And when I got it, somebody else was like, but have you tried King of the Coop? Like, it's like, I can't go anywhere and order fried chicken without people like, but did you
can't
you
go
get
anywhere. I can't go King anywhere now. It's, I go somewhere and I'll see people like talking. I'll be at dinner with my wife and then they'll come up and they're like, are you the chicken guy? And, you know, it's really cool. It's really awesome. I'm not complaining about it at all. Right. I love that response from everybody. It's just nice to hear that. For the majority, people really like it, and I'm just glad that we're able to provide that.
Mm-hmm. So then you said it took about a year then for you to perfect that recipe. You came back, it sounds pretty obsessed with trying to get this down.
When I had the food truck, I started playing around with it a lot. Mm-hmm. The spice blend itself wasn't the hard part. The hard part was figuring out our oil dip. Mm-hmm. At first, we were using an oil where all the spices would sink to the bottom, so you're having to stir it up and it doesn't stick to the chicken properly. Mm-hmm. And then a buddy of mine that was working with me at Armature Works had the idea of what oil to use, and from there it was magical.
That's fantastic. So now it's a secret recipe that you've perfected over that year.
And I can tell you how we do it. I won't tell you our recipe.
Well, I heard, and you can confirm this, it's twice fried.
Yes. So because of our space and being an open kitchen, most, and this is what I saw when we went to Nashville, most Nashville chicken spots are behind the scenes, mm-hmm. Where you don't see into the kitchen. I actually got told I had to move away from the kitchen doorway looking in, and somebody was like, "You can't stand here." And I was like, oh, all right, you know. But our kitchen is wide open. Mm-hmm. And to fry to order when customers are in, some people just wouldn't like seeing a 40 pounds of chicken sitting out being fried. And I understand that, you know. So twice fried actually allows us to keep the outside really crispy and the inside really juicy. But what it also does is it cuts down on our customer wait time. When we first opened, we would have a line where people were standing in line for 40 minutes just to order, and then they would be waiting another 40 minutes to get their chicken.
Oh my gosh.
Just as many tickets as we had and how we were doing it, so we felt frying double fried was the best route, mm-hmm. and it's working out.
I can understand that. I probably wouldn't want to see in an open kitchen like all this raw chicken about right. to go in a fryer. That's not very appetizing.
Right, and that's the reason behind it. If we had a different layout of the kitchen, we could do it differently. Mm-hmm. But we hand bread all of our chicken ourselves. We make our brine. We get fresh tenders in, fresh leg quarters. We're gonna have breast quarters and whole wings very soon, and we hand bread everything. There's nothing store-bought, everything down to our sauces. We make our own spice blends. We buy our spices in bulk and blend it ourselves. We make our own our king sauce that we do, our dipping sauce for the chicken. Mm-hmm. We make our pimento cheese. Everything is made in-house.
Wow. Did you always know that it was going to be fried chicken? Or when you had the food truck, did you ever think like, oh, wow, we're selling really well on these ribs. Like, I might open a rib restaurant or something like that.
No, I really didn't know, honestly, what I did always tell my wife, like, I want a fried chicken spot. Like, I think it would be I think it would be cool to have a fried chicken spot, you know. Mm-hmm. Did I think it would happen? I don't know. I don't think so. Not until Armature Works, really.
Uh-huh.
That was when I was like, okay, like, we have something here. And I think that's when I knew that we were going to open a fried chicken restaurant.
So how did that work in terms of getting involved with Armature Works? So you had the food truck, and mm-hmm. then was it just that they, like, opened applications to get in that rotating stall and you went after
it?
No.
A very good friend of mine, Stephanie Swans with Empa Mamas. Mm-hmm. She had her food truck. She was actually one of the first people I met in Tampa with a food truck when we moved here. We did some research before opening a food truck, and I met her at Coppertail, and since then we've been really good friends, and she was a really big supporter of mine, mm-hmm. as I am of hers. You know, she's excellent. And she got us the tasting. And they almost didn't taste our food at Armature Works because we were kind of similar to one of their other spots.
Okay.
And she told the president and one of the owners, just give them a try. Mm-hmm. And they tried it, and that was when it happened then.
Wow.
At Armature Works, yeah. It was because of her that we got there.
Oh. So is the food truck like business and the small restaurant business, like, do you find that you know a lot of people in it? Like, it's a pretty strong community in Tampa, or was it really you kind of just connected with her and she's the one person that you've really stayed in touch with?
I've always stayed in touch with her. The food truck business, I met a lot of really great people and made a lot of really great connections and made a lot of good friends from it. Moving into the restaurant business, my background is restaurants, not food truck. Doing the food truck is harder than any restaurant I've ever worked in. And it doesn't matter if you're slow or busy as a food truck, it's harder than any restaurant I've ever been in. And one thing was, you know, finding clients and creating a consistent customer base with a food truck is very hard, mm-hmm. because most food trucks are around during lunchtime. And if you build a client base in North Tampa on one lunch shift and then you're in South Tampa on another lunch shift, nobody's going to drive that right. drive to get lunch, right? It just doesn't happen. So the inconsistency was really the hard part, mm-hmm. for that. But as for the people, I mean, so far, every person that I've met in the restaurant industry here has been excellent too. Just, mm-hmm. it's a big community, and that's what I love.
That's great. And so I wanted to talk a bit about your logo, because it's a pretty unique one. I think I read that it was inspired by Biggie Smalls. Is that?
It was. So I got to give huge shout out to Casey with Bay Edge Media. She's the mm-hmm. one that, she actually hand drew it.
Oh, wow.
And then did the digital side of it as well. Mm-hmm. It is inspired by Biggie Smalls. You know, there's two sweatshirts that I've seen. One with him wearing, like, the Coogie sweater, you know? Mm-hmm. However you say it, Coogie sweater. And then the black and white one of him wearing a gold crown. So I told Casey, I said, hey, this is what I want for our logo, but I want it to be a rooster. And she said, full body or half? I said, full body. And she knocked it out the park.
Yeah, for those of you listening who can't see it, it's a very colorful rooster that does have a crown, king of the coop, like gold chain, and is arms crossed in front of him, and a very, like, king of the coop is the best yep. way to put it.
We had an artist, if you look right back there, mm-hmm. Karan Patel actually did it, painted it on our wall, and it's amazing.
So what made you think, though, Biggie Smalls? I don't think chicken and then it goes straight to Biggie Smalls.
Hip-hop is a huge part of my life, mm-hmm. that the music. I love fast-paced music. I love old-school hip-hop, not this new stuff. Old-school hip-hop where everybody tells a story, you know? I didn't grow up like Biggie Smalls. I didn't grow up like Tupac, but they had stories to tell, and that's what drew me to it, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's why I wanted to represent that part of my life within the logo, you know? Like, that's, and people notice it. People notice without even asking. They'll be like, hey, man, that logo really reminds me of the Biggie shirt. And I'm like, well, that's where we got it from, you know? So it's a big representation of who I am.
It's funny because, so my son is 14 months old, so not very old, but
he's
one
a
day
fan and he's a Pac fan.
Yeah, actually, I know, that's the thing. It's like, I came home one day and my husband's like, watch this. And he turned on Biggie's Hypnotize, yep. and our son just starts dancing, like almost basically twerking. It's very bizarre. And I was like, that's what you guys have been listening to? You've been like playing Hypnotize for him? But now anytime we need to get him to be happy, we turn on Hypnotize, and he loves it. So
that's like, I have a 16-year-old and I have a 4-year-old, and my 16-year-old, she's just like me, reggae and hip-hop, that's mm-hmm. it, that's what she loves, and her Disney songs, of course.
Oh, of course, you really can't. Yeah. That's a good mix right there. So did you ever expect that you'd be expanding so soon? Like, did it take you off guard when all of a sudden you saw the long lines and you heard all the hype, or was it always you knew you had such a good product that this was expected?
I honestly, When I wrote the business plan for this spot, for King of the Coop, I wrote it based off of half of our numbers at Armature Works.
Okay.
And you know, I always like to go worst case scenario.
Right.
Especially planning for a business. Well, we're doing 3 times what I projected.
Wow.
And I say that very humbly, you know, like everything that I say or do or whatever, I'm very humble about, because I know at any minute this could all be done, mm-hmm. right? So I did not expect it to be a hit like this so fast. And I really don't think many people did. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. I don't take it as them doubting us at all. I know my parents for sure were like, are you sure this is what you want to do? You know, like they look at all the restaurants that start and fail and start and fail. And, you know, there is that side of it, but sometimes you just got to take that risk and go for it. It's just money, right?
Exactly.
We can all print more tomorrow.
Right, we only live once. It's worth it to take the risks.
Yep.
But so then what do you really attribute to your success? Like,
I'll tell you right now, it's number one, it's the people that I have working with me.
Mm-hmm.
My staff is amazing. We've been through a lot of people that we've parted ways with that I've been sad about, but kind of had to happen, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But even those people are still part of the success. It's my staff that's in here 7 days a week, doing the same stuff for hundreds of people a day, and they're the ones that deserve all the credit. Not me. I'm just the guy with the idea and the recipes. They're the ones that do it. So it's really them, and also our customers, 100%. Without our staff and our customers, we would not have a restaurant. We would just have a building, right? So our customers are amazing. There's a lot of customers that we know on a first name basis now.
Wow.
We've had customers come from Jacksonville and Daytona and Sarasota, and they're like, "Oh, we got here from Jacksonville." I'm like, "Are you kidding me? Like, what?" You know, you drove 3 hours to come eat chicken. That's amazing, you know. And
right.
Hearing that, it makes me so happy. But let me say, we won 2 Best of the Bay awards.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight is the Best of the Bay party.
Right.
We're handing out samples there. We were nominated in 7 categories.
Okay.
I really wanted one of them. And that one was because Publix always wins it. And it was Best Fried Chicken.
Publix always wins
Publix
Best
always
Fried
Chicken.
Oh, my gosh.
Publix got some good fried chicken.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not everybody's knocking Publix fried chicken.
But that old school Albertsons, that's where it was at.
Oh, my God. That meat at Albertsons when it was like buy 2, get 3 free. Like,
yeah. That means it's not good for you. But so we actually won Best Fried Chicken.
Wow.
And we won Best Hot New Restaurant Opening. And we closed today because I want my staff to come with me to the party to enjoy it, because that award is as much for them as it is for me in this spot, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I will be forever grateful to them for that.
Yeah, that's amazing. That is one feat to beat out Publix.
Yes. Yes. Nothing against Publix. Right. I'll still buy their chicken.
That's really, really awesome. I mean, and also, you guys had such hype in terms of your opening when you first opened. Were you behind the scenes at that at all? Like, in terms of, do you have somebody that does your social media, or do you handle your social media?
This is a subject that is within the past week and a half has become a very tough subject, but I'll touch on it. The person that was doing my social media, she is no longer with the company.
Mm-hmm.
I won't get into that side of it, but she absolutely knocked it out the park with our social media. She was with me at Armature Works, not doing social media. She mm-hmm. didn't have a social media background, but it was something that interested her, and she knocked it out of the park. we had to part ways. So that's the tough part.
Mm-hmm.
Not because of how well she did with our social media, but on a friendship level, like not even a friendship level, a family level. I look at all my people as an extension of my family, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I want to make sure that I can take care of them as well as they're taking care of the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that we did that I think was a great move is we did a social media night before we opened. So we did a family and friends event, and then the next night we shut down and had, I think there was like 45 local influencers.
Mm-hmm.
And it was people that came out to try us at Armature Works and all that. And they're still posting about us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is what really catapulted us in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Plus, being at Armature Works, like, people knew what was coming. People knew we were leaving Armature Works.
Yeah.
Because we were only there for 4 months. So everybody was asking, what's next, what's next, what's next? And once we knew exactly what was next, we pushed it out and started promoting it. We now have another good friend of mine who does social media. She's taking control of our social media account because I am absolutely horrible at it.
Oh, I can relate with that.
Oh man, I cannot do it. I just don't have the patience for it. I don't have the eye for it, and it's kind of like a modern day art doing social media and being an influencer.
Yeah.
So,
and it takes a lot of time. It's funny that you mentioned you're at Armature Works, because did you know if you still search Nashville Hot Chicken in Yelp, you guys come up first, but Soul Food Kitchen comes up second.
Yeah.
In terms of, so it's like, yep. people know that that's what you're known for.
Yep.
I thought that was funny. You have a monopoly on that. You're one and two on the Yelp search.
Well, we have new people coming into town on the Pinellas side. I know another spot opened up this past weekend, and I think it's great. I think competition is great. It allows people to, it keeps people on their toes, but it allows people to try different versions of things, right? And it'll prove my point of no Nashville hot chicken spot is the same.
Right, yeah.
And that's what I want people to understand is, like, you can compare McDonald's to McDonald's. You can compare McDonald's to a Burger King. But when it comes to fried chicken, everybody's going to do it differently.
Because
almost every culture has some sort of fried chicken dish.
Yeah.
You know? So it's something that you just can't compare. And you either like it or you don't.
Well, as you can tell from, again, 4.5 stars, you guys are well-liked. So do you read Yelp reviews?
I do.
Mm-hmm.
I do. And I used to let it stress me out. But a local chef buddy of mine told me, stop reading them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't want to stop reading them because there's valuable information in there.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that I kind of want to... mention about it is I just wish that people would who go on Yelp and review businesses before they would go and give a business a negative review. If they have a negative experience and you're dining in, try to get the experience fixed by the restaurant. We're not perfect. No restaurant is perfect, right? We strive for the best. We always want to make sure that we're giving our customers the best experience possible, especially on first experience, you know? You always strive for that. And sometimes it just doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it... I'm not making an excuse for it by any means, but... I just wish that that people who go on Yelp and review, and it's not just Yelp, it's Yelp, it's Google, it's wherever, it's Facebook, wherever you can leave a review.
Yeah.
Do the restaurant a service. And, you know, it's almost like customers have responsibilities as well. Mm-hmm. And I don't think too many people like to say that in fear that they'll start getting negative reviews, mm-hmm. right? But I'm saying that customers also have a responsibility to when they dine out, right? We had a lady in here the other day, and she wasn't happy, but we were doing everything. She had been here before. We were doing everything the exact same way as we do with every customer. Every piece of chicken we do exactly the same way. And she seemed to think that we were doing it different. And she ended up getting her money back and left and said, "You guys don't know how to deal with hard customers." And I'm like, "Well, why do you have to be a hard customer? You know, our menu is very straightforward. If you don't want something on your sandwich, we'll gladly leave it off, you know?" Mm-hmm. So that's the responsibility. The restaurant has a responsibility to provide a great product and a great service. Mm-hmm. The customer has a responsibility to also understand that sometimes things happen, mm-hmm. and if the restaurant can fix it and provide them and go above and beyond to make their experience better, then that should be the first point rather than a review. Mm-hmm. Because what they don't understand sometimes, it's easy to go on and leave a review. But what you're also doing is you're affecting the livelihoods, not just of the restaurant owners, but the people that work within the restaurant, the people that the restaurant buys food from to sell. It's like a whole chain of things. And I just think that we should be more open to not being rude to people. I'm not saying that, but like, I wish there was some place that sometimes we could review customers as well.
Well, the good news, I know, I think you guys are aware, because I actually saw you respond to a review, is that on Yelp that the business owner can write under somebody's review and make a comment.
Right.
But I completely agree, though, and I think I saw it best at a restaurant here in Tampa. They have a sign on each table that's like, "If you hated your experience, please tell us. If you loved it, here's where you can find us. Find us on Yelp."
I know exactly what restaurant you're talking about, because those table tents that they have.
It's such a smart idea.
Yeah, the first part of it, I couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah, it's true. And
it is.
And I agree. And I found actually more often now that, because I've talked to business owners and I've heard the side that when I have a bad experience, I'm a lot more likely now to actually tell the, because I think as customers, we often err on the side of like, "Oh, we don't want to rock the boat. We don't want to tell like it to somebody's face when we didn't like a dish, or we're just going to like pretend." But you're right. It's not a good thing. It's a lot better to be able to give.
If you can't say it to the person,
right?
Should you even say it in typing it?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because this is where technology has gotten in the way communication, right?
Yeah.
Because if you can't come to me and say, "Hey, Joe, my chicken wasn't cooked right," or, "Hey, Joe, my chicken was kind of dry." If you came and did that, I would be like, "Hey, I really apologize. Here's your money back. Here's your food, and your next one's on me."
Mm-hmm.
Right? But when you go and you leave a review that could have been solved, number one, you're doing a disservice to yourself, because you just paid for something that you did not like.
Right.
What sense does that make?
Mm-hmm.
Right? You go to Target and buy something that you're like, "I don't have any use for this. I'm going to take it back." They mm-hmm. take it back, right?
Yeah.
Why not treat restaurants the same way?
Yeah.
You know, I think and reviewing restaurants based off of taste mm-hmm. makes zero sense to me, because taste is such a personal thing. Like, I went somewhere last night to a sushi spot. Delicious. But mm-hmm. I tried something that I never had before. And the server came and she's like, "Oh, how was it?" And I was like, "Well, honestly, wasn't for me because of texture. Taste, phenomenal."
Mm-hmm.
But the texture, it threw me off a little bit. I didn't expect them to take it off the bill. I didn't ask them to take it off the bill. Taste and texture are very personal to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you come in and you review and you're like, "Hey, the service was horrible.
Yep.
The person taking my order was nasty. the place wasn't clean. That's a review.
Yeah.
To say like, oh, it wasn't hot enough, or oh,
it was too hot.
Yeah, too hot, or oh, it was too salty. It's like, that's so personal. Because we season the food how we eat it.
Yeah.
Because there's no way to season food to everybody's, right? It's like, how salty do you like it? Oh, the five sprinkles, you know? Like, that's just not how it works. So, and I don't understand that side of not just Yelp, but Google. And I mean, we've had, we have a lot of really great reviews.
Yeah.
A lot.
Mm-hmm.
We also have some that aren't good at all.
Mm-hmm.
And those, the great ones are awesome, but the not great ones, even though it's like, okay, I mean, sometimes I look at them and I'm like, are you serious right now? Like, this is what you're reviewing us on?
Yeah.
But we still take it serious, you know? And if there's something that we need to change, or if somebody says, oh, like, the food was great, but the service wasn't that good, well then, one, we're going to make sure that our consistency and our food product is staying the same. But we're also going to look at our standards of service and say, where can we improve?
Yeah.
Right? So that's one thing that I love about the reviews, is because it makes us as business owners either, as my grandma would say, piss or get off the pot, you know?
Oh, my gosh. My husband says that, too.
But we're actually going to be signing up with delivery services.
Oh.
And there's one delivery service that is partnered with Yelp. I think it's Grubhub.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I was talking with the gentleman from Grubhub on the phone, and we were talking about Yelp. He was like, oh, we're partnering with Yelp. And I was like, oh, you know, like that. And he was like, oh, I only review restaurants if I go and I have a bad experience. And I said, dude, does that make any damn sense to you?
Yeah.
He's like, well, what do you mean? I said, does that make any sense? I said, if everybody went and reviewed restaurants on positive reviews, right? We have way too much negativity in this world nowadays. If everybody went and reviewed restaurants and they left positive reviews, if they had a positive experience, then what would happen is all the restaurants that didn't get any reviews would slowly start to think, man, why the hell am I not getting any reviews from our customers?
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe there's a lot of shit that you need to change. I don't know if I'm allowed to cuss on here. I hope
no,
so.
No, go ahead. We'll put a warning at the beginning. We'll okay. be like, not for children.
You know, I don't understand that. Why be negative when you can be positive? And if there are issues, then take it up with somebody. The restaurants, I mean, I know there are some restaurant owners that will probably be snappy and not open to criticism.
Mm-hmm.
But those are the ones that won't be around for a long time.
Right.
We, as restaurant owners, we have to know that we're going to get criticism whether we want it or not.
Yeah.
Right? And you have to be open to that. So that is also a responsibility on the restaurant owner, to be open to the criticism. So if somebody does exactly what I'm saying, like if you have a bad experience and you go to the restaurant owner and you say, hey, this isn't right, I didn't enjoy this, the restaurant owner, it cannot be about pride. Mm-hmm. Pride belongs nowhere in a restaurant.
Yeah.
Right? I say that, but some things I'm just like, nah, that's just how we're doing it, you know? Some people
that
say
is
like,
also though the great thing about being the boss is you're just like, okay, I hear you, but no, that's
right
not.
Like people are like, oh, you should do this, and I'm like, no, we're not gonna do that, you know? But when it's something serious, like if a customer did not enjoy themselves, as a restaurateur you should take that and say, man, like every day I want to make sure that everybody that comes in here is happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I will do whatever I have to do to make them happy. But it is the responsibility of the customer to let them know in the time of dining, not through a review afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, if you let the restaurant owner know or the manager or whatever that something is wrong and they fix it, great. If you still want to leave a review, that's 100% your choice, right?
Mm-hmm.
The restaurant owner will then know that they did the right thing at the end of the day. And that's where you can be as a restaurant owner and provide a response to the customer on their review and say, this is what we did to rectify the situation. We're sorry that, you know, this led to this review. And then other people, people are smart, right? People who read reviews
yeah.
are smart. Like, we got a Google review on our Kool-Aid. And it was like, this lady, I swear to God, this was the review. Uh-huh. They were talking, they said something, how they didn't like the food, and they said, don't let me get started on that cool, nasty aid. They said, I'm black. I know how Kool-Aid should taste. And my response was, I didn't know Kool-Aid knew a color other than red, orange, green, purple, and blue. The very next day, I had a customer come in and say, hey, man, I really liked your response on Google. And I didn't know what the hell he was talking about. And then he said, oh, about the Kool-Aid. And I was like, oh. And he's like, that's actually why I came here.
Oh.
And I said, that's awesome.
Yeah.
There's been Yelp reviews that I've actually written a response. Mm-hmm. And then we get into where the person then starts sending messages, and I'll send a message back. Very professionally, you know, you have yeah. to be professional. And they've actually taken their review down mm-hmm. because I've rectified the situation. I would have yeah. rather have done it ahead of time, before mm-hmm. the review, if they would have just given us the opportunity.
Yeah.
We would have done the exact same thing that I told them we were going to do in my response on Yelp. But I think I agree that what you said, that it's easier to type it.
Yeah, which is, I mean, isn't the best thing. That
but why
is
be a
definitely
keyboard
not.
Cowboy when you can just say it to the person, right?
Yeah.
But not everybody's going to take it the right way. Mm-hmm. I will, though. So if anybody has anything to say to me that they either like or don't like, we're open to all criticism, good and bad.
That's
and
good
we would
know.
Be horrible business owners if we were not.
Yeah.
You have to take the good and the bad. It can't always be great. You know, mm-hmm. but just know that if anybody that gives a damn about their business, they're going to be their worst critic over anybody, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And that's the case for me. I am my own worst critic. Every day I'm, it's what can we do differently? How can we change this? You know, our mac and cheese. Mm-hmm. Since opening, I think we've changed our mac and cheese recipe 6 different times.
Wow.
Just because it wasn't a product that we were happy putting out. Mm-hmm. And customers would say on either to us or on a review. Mm-hmm. And that's something that you have to take serious, you know?
Yeah.
And so we changed it. And then it's like, ah, it's just, it's not good. Okay, well, we'll change it again. And what we have now, people really like, for the most part. Which is great. So, you know, I just want everybody to know that when they do review us, we do take them serious.
No.
Good and bad.
That's fantastic. So, just one last question. I know we talked a lot about reviews, but is there anything else that you would want our Yelp Tampa Bay listeners to know?
Poof. 100% that we just support their business, and mm-hmm. we support them supporting us, and I guess the biggest thing is don't be scared to get what you paid for. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're not happy with something, please speak up. And that's not just for our spot. Mm-hmm. If you go to any place and you're not happy, I don't care if it's McDonald's or Burger King, right? If you're paying for a product, that product should be fantastic. Mm-hmm. And everybody should expect that, especially when it comes to food, because
right.
food, one, like I said, is very personal, but food, there's two things that I think in this world that can cure all hate.
Okay.
Food.
Yeah.
And music.
Nice.
Is the two things that could bridge the gap between everybody.
Yeah.
You know, through every culture, food and music. And that's what I want people to take away from this is expect greatness. Mm-hmm. But I think also the hype that we felt before we opened, mm-hmm. that can make or break something, you know, because people have an idea in their mind of how something's going to be without ever trying it.
Right.
And then they try it and they're like, oh, like I was expecting this. And sometimes just go in with no expectations. Just look forward to trying something mm-hmm. new.
So I know we talked a little bit about how we aren't good at social media, but do you know where people can find you? What is your Instagram handle?
Our Instagram and Facebook mm-hmm. is at King of the Coop Tampa.
Okay. And what are your hours at your restaurant?
So we're 7 days a week, open 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. or until we sell out. So
right.
we've had Tuesdays and Thursdays where we've sold out. We've sold out on Fridays and Saturday. What was it? 2 weeks ago, we sold out at 6 p.m. on a Saturday.
Oh my gosh.
And it's like, God, like, how do we do that?
You're looking at all this chicken that you had and you're like, people yes. ate all the chicken?
Where did it go? You know, like, and now people are used to it, right? Like, Sue always posts, like, hey guys, we're sold out. Mm-hmm. At first, people were like, oh, that sucks, you know. But we don't have the space
yep.
to hold more than what we can.
Mm-hmm.
And I would rather food be fresh
yeah.
and done right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, frying chicken the way we do it is, it's really like an art.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to do what we can with what we have.
Yeah. So what Joe is saying is follow them on social media so you know if they're out of chicken and just get here early. But
yep.
it was great talking to you.
Thanks for coming on the podcast. Thank you very much for having me.